Well, they say, does your house feel a little strange? Is someone giving you the evil eye? Are you just having a run of bad luck, or have you been cursed? In a moment, Miss Aida joins us as we talk about hoodoo cleansing and protection magic right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you a little bit about Miss Aida. Was born into a family that practiced Santeria, Palo, Brujeria, or a combination of all three. And the practice of magic has always been a part of her life. She is a natural-born medium as well as a hoodoo practitioner. In addition to having received many initiations into Santeria and Palo, Miss Aida is a registered nurse and a proud U.S. Air Force veteran, holds a master's degree in health services administration. Miss Aida, welcome to the program, and thank you for serving. I really, really, really mean that.
Thank you for thanking me, and thank you for serving also. It's an honor to meet you, sir. It's an honor. I've been following you longer than I thought. We're both from Detroit. Both our parents worked at Ford Motor Company, and we both graduated from U of D and U of DM.
That is something. I did all those probably years after you, way ahead.
I'm 64. I'm no young chicken.
Oh, I don't know. You sound young, too. But
well, I love you.
Do you still have a family back in Detroit?
No, they're all passed away.
They are. I know. Mom's 92. She's still there with my sister. I did lose a sister, and I lost my daddy. He made it to 88, which was a darn good run. I should be that lucky, you know?
Oh, is your mom in Detroit?
Yep, she still lives there. She still lives there.
Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful.
So let's talk
so
a little bit.
You and I are familiar with a lot of things.
Absolutely. Are you a fan of Detroit sports?
Oh, well, the Tigers, Detroit Tigers, absolutely.
That's great. How did you make your way into the Air Force?
My father, I grew up watching Gomer Pyle, USMC, and I wanted to be a Marine, and my father said, no, you either join the Air Force or I'm not going to let you go. So I joined the Air Force.
Well, that's not all bad. I went into the Navy, as you know, and just had some great times. And you really develop a great friendship.
Quite an accomplishment, too. A captain in the Navy, that's
no.
astounding.
Full lieutenant in the Navy, which is like a captain in the Air Force.
Right, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
You know, the Navy ranks are so confusing to me.
They are.
I used
they
to
are.
Go around saluting enlisted people because I couldn't read the ranks. So I thought, better safe than sorry, I just salute everybody.
I think if I were a captain in the Navy, it would have been the equivalent of a colonel in the Air Force.
I see. Your ranks always confused me.
Not a bad rank at all. Anyways, tell us about hoodoo. Hoodoo is African-American, isn't it? It's a spiritual type thing?
Right. It's an African derivative tradition. And it is based on oral tradition and passed down through the generations. It's also known as conjure, tricking, root work. And it's practiced in North America. It also incorporates Central and West African magic with fragments of Jewish, Irish, German, Spanish, and Native American beliefs and practices. So, and it's got Christianity in it, obviously.
How close is it to
from voodoo and Santeria and those practices, which are religions?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Voodoo is not a religion.
How did you get involved in hoodoo, or was this like we were saying, your family was involved in this from the get-go?
Yeah, but not hoodoo. They were involved in Santeria, Palo, and Brujeria, but I got really tired of animal sacrifices, and it becomes excessive, and as I got older, I couldn't do it anymore. Yeah, I remember walking away from my cauldron, like, I just can't do this anymore. And then I found hoodoo, which is a similar practice. There's a lot of similarities because all of them derive from Africa, right?
That's right.
So, you know, it was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And I've been practicing it ever since. I mean, I still love the Orishas and Santeria. I still love everybody and all the entities and pray to them, but I won't perform any more animal sacrifices.
That's
I'm
good.
Completely over that.
Good for you. Good for you. Now, in terms of hoodoo cleansing, what are we cleansing with hoodoo?
We're cleansing basically the aura.
Uh-huh.
So, as I explain in the book, that the aura is a protective shield that we have around us, right? And as we encounter negative energies, and it's my profession, that I profess that the world has an equal balance of good and bad energies, right? Just as we have good and bad people and good and bad this and good and bad places, right? We have the same energy. So the aura protects us. And whenever there's an insult, any type of an insult, so say right now, my aura is bright and shiny and someone texts me and says, "You're doing a horrible job on Mr. Norrie's radio show. You're doing just awful. You're an embarrassment to Coast to Coast." And I read that, right? You know, what happens, because there's an interrelationship between the physiological, emotional, and spiritual factors, they each affect each other, okay? It's all a process. So what happens is I start worrying about the text message, right?
Right.
And then my heart starts beating faster, and then I start pumping adrenaline, which causes more stress, and my aura gets suppressed. And what we do is we cleanse the aura and try to replenish that brightness.
And if you get a text that says you're doing a great job on Coast to Coast, what happens to that aura?
It probably shines even more so.
Perfect. Well, you're doing a good job.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Part of the other part of the book, the subtitles, of course, banish negative energy, which you mentioned, but also ward off unpleasant people. Tell us about that. What would be an unpleasant person?
Well, there's a lot of unpleasant people. There's liars, con artists, scammers, bullies, people who are envious, people who are jealous. Just all kinds of bad people, you know, and the worst being the victimizers, you know, whether it's a domestic violence situation. People can be verbally abusive. It doesn't even have to be within a domestic violence situation. You know, I could walk outside, and if a neighbor hates my guts, you know, they say something horrible to me, that's abuse, you know. So there's all kinds of things. And, you know, it's my hypothesis, if you will, okay, that the more that someone's aura is suppressed, the more that people can sense it, right? And I've written in the book, and, you know, I like to tell people that abusers and psychologists have told me this, right, that an abuser can walk into a room. Let's say hypothetically he's a male, right?
Okay.
An abuser can walk into a room with 100 women, and if one woman had been previously abused, right, he can pick it up. He can pick up on her and go right to her, and that's because he subconsciously or maybe even consciously sensed that she has a suppressed aura, along with body language, right? Mr. Norrie, did you ever see the movie Drew Peterson, Untouchable?
I don't remember if I did.
That killed his wives?
I might have.
Okay, so he was married 4 times, and he had killed 2 wives, right?
Jeez.
And he was under suspicion. And he didn't care. His last wife was missing. No one could find him. And it just verified what the psychologists were telling me in this one scene where he walks into a bar with his friends and a reporter. And the one friend tells he sits down in the bar, right? He sits down, and he's just looking around at these women. And he gets up and he talks to this woman, and the one friend tells a reporter he can pick out his next wife. He can tell by her body language and by other things. Within 5 minutes, Drew Peterson was talking to the woman, comes back. Within 5 minutes, he says, I just found wife number five.
Jeez.
So it's just amazing. You know, and psychologists call this, unexplained phenomenon. But spiritual practitioners know that, you know, they're sensing the aura.
And why can't the woman sense something strange or bad about this person?
Because she's surrounded with negative energy. As soon as your aura becomes suppressed, it becomes a vacuum for even more negative energy, right? So what does the abuser do? How does an abuser work his way into a relationship? He charms a woman. Or, you know, I can say she also, because there's a lot of men who are abused, right? So, you know, how do they warm their way into people's lives? How does anybody who's a bad person, they're manipulative. They know what people are striving for, whether it be compliments or presents, whatever, right? So they temporarily build up that ego, right? So that they can,
that's right,
you know, grab that person or, you know, snatch them in.
Would you call these people psychic vampires as well?
Not really. I call a psychic vampire somebody, let's just say I called the radio show right now. I called you. You don't know me. And I just had this really, really bad day, and you had this really good day. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm telling you all my problems. And I'm, you know, my dog was bit somebody, and my cat was killed, and my husband slapped me, and this and that and that and this and this and that. And then I start feeling better because I'm sucking up some of the energy from your aura, right? And what am I doing? I'm throwing my garbage on you. Right? So what happens? I walk away feeling better, and you feel like crap, right? That's a psychic vampire.
Well, now let's talk about hoodoo cleansing and protection magic. First of all, what is the protection magic? Is it something that we build around ourselves?
No, protection magic is our magical practices to protect oneself, right? So we can use washes, herbs, amulets, bathing. You know, there's different things to cleanse and then protect yourself, right? Holy water,
sure.
Florida water. You know, I list all kinds of different techniques to protect yourself, but you must first cleanse yourself, okay? And, you know, here's a similarity. If I haven't taken a bath in a year, and then I spray myself with perfume, I'm still going to stink, right? I smell horrible with perfume on myself, right? So you have to cleanse yourself first to get rid of the negative energies that are on you, and then protect yourself as you would taking a regular bath. Let's just say you walk into some mud. You leave your car in the driveway, and it's raining outside, and there's mud, and you walk through the mud, and you're completely dirty, right?
Yep.
And so you go into a regular shower, you wash it all off, you put on clean clothes, you're feeling spanky clean, and oh my God, I left my wallet in my car, right? So you go back to the car. Now, if you're not wearing a raincoat and boots, right, you're going to get dirty again. So the protection aspect is similar to putting on a raincoat and boots so that you don't get wet and dirty again.
Makes sense. Now, once you start cleansing and protecting, what does that do to you as a person?
As a person? Well, as I have stated before, well, let's go back to the shower. Let's go back to just the regular shower. Okay, let's just say you've been working all day and you're sweaty and you feel yucky and gunky and everything else, because that's what happens to the aura, too. The aura gets weighed down with negative energies, right? So what happens? Your body language changes, you're feeling funky, and you come home and your wife says, hey, sweetheart, yum, 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 blah. You know, you don't feel like all that lovey-dovey stuff. And then you go and you take a shower, right? And you're feeling spanky clean, and you come out, your body language changes, you're in a better mood. Same thing happens when you're doing spiritual cleansing. You're replenishing your aura and feeling better.
How long does it take to get into that cleansing mode? Is it a short period or a long time?
It depends. It depends. And in my book, you know, I cover every possible aspect, from the most minor nuisances, like, you know, someone gave me the finger, you know, when I'm driving, which absolutely happens to me all the time because I'm a very slow driver. Old men with hats pass me up and give me the finger, right? So, you know, I cover minor things like that, and then I work it all the way up to the most horrible things that can happen, you know, like demonic possessions and things like that. So I cover everything. And so it depends. So if somebody just, you know, gave me the finger and told me, you know, lady, you know, get off the road, blah, 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 and I come home and I'm feeling yucky, right? I'll just spray myself with some holy water or some Florida water, and that will do it. It just depends on the severity. It would be like, are you going to use a washcloth to wipe off some of the dirt on you? Are you going to take a complete bath? So it depends. And, you know, I list all the severities, right, and what is required for each severity.
Well, don't do what Russell Crowe, the actor, did in his movie Unhinged, where he became a road rager and literally went ballistic, chasing this person into their house and everything else.
That hasn't happened to me.
That's the opposite effect. If somebody, like, if a priest saw you walking around with hoodoo cleansing, would they freak or would they think, well, that's interesting?
I don't know. That's a good question. But I can, you know, and I'm Catholic. I haven't talked to any priests about it. But, you know, in my book, I do interview a rabbi. And it's Rabbi Jeffrey Dennis, who is the author of the Encyclopedia of Jewish Myth, Magic, and Mysticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I interviewed him about possessions, you know, both positive and negative. And he was a really awesome guy to talk to. Totally awesome.
And the person who wrote the foreword to your book is a friend of ours, Judica Ellis. Good person.
Oh, Judica, she's the best. She is the best. She is an angel.
She knows her things. She knows her spells, doesn't she?
Oh, she sure does. She's, you know what, I am blessed to have, you know, been published by Wiser because they have the most phenomenal staff, but I work, you know, closely with Judica Ellis, and she's just a phenomenal human being.
Well, and you're right. Wiser's a great publisher. They've been in this genre for a long, long time, and they know what they're doing.
And they're so nice to me. They're just so nice.
Well, you did a great job for them. They should treat you nice.
Oh, thank you.
That's the thing. When we come back after the break, I want to get involved more into some of this techniques and how the book will help certain people. And I do want to talk about curses, how they're delivered, whether somebody thinks a curse is. Well, let me ask you that right now. Will somebody know that they've been cursed, or do just bad things happen to them?
It depends. It just depends. I cursed somebody once, and I mean really, really cursed them, and the man had a heart attack.
Oh, no.
He saw my face. I mean, I rarely do that. I've only done it like twice in my lifetime, but it just depends on what you're doing.
All right, hold on. We'll be back in a moment. Miss Aida with us as we're talking about hoodoo cleansing and protection magic. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Miss Aida with us, hoodoo cleansing and protection magic. Now, when you put that curse on that individual, I'm sure you didn't say, I want this guy to get a heart attack or anything like that.
Yes, I did.
You did? You were that specific?
Yes.
Now, what would possess you to do that? You don't sound like that kind of person.
It was very bad. You know, we don't want to get into it. It was very, very bad. And it wasn't something that he did to me. It was something he did to my husband. My husband has since passed away.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, we'll not get into that, but I mean,
Okay.
how long did it take for the curse to take effect?
I would say about 2 days, because I had specifically put a nail over the heart of the doll and I was pounding it.
Whoa. I got to ask you this. If he had died, could you have been arrested for murder?
No, absolutely not. And, I want to get into that too. I had previously written a smaller book on cursing and crossing, okay? And
Okay.
now I'm about to submit a transcript, on other negative forms of magic. But I'm a very, very firm believer that all curses must be justified, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So when you asked me, about this man with the heart attack, it was very, very bad what he did. It was awful. So you can just imagine, if my philosophy is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and your spells have to be justified, trust me, he did something bad.
How do you create a spell or a curse?
Okay, so, well, those are two different questions. Okay, so curses can be delivered in different ways. Okay, again, I have to emphasize curses must be justified as far as I'm concerned. They must be. I turn down clients all the time wishing to curse people. And one that people are unfamiliar with is a curse in the Bible. It is Psalm 109. It is the harshest curse that one can recite. Okay? It is so harsh that, rabbis will tell you that, make sure that you're protected, make sure that you call God in, because whenever you curse somebody, you're also calling in the attention of curious, malevolent entities. So you have to protect yourself, right? You have to explain why you're doing it. I always believe that it must be verbalized why you're doing it. So that's the first thing I wanted to get out. Okay, so it can be done with candle magic. It can be done with using effigies such as dolls or something else representing the victim, such as a candle in the shape of a person.
Do you have to have a piece of their hair or anything like that?
Yeah, you can have personal concerns. You can have hair, skin, saliva, dandruff. People don't think about that. Those are skin cells, right?
That's right. They're
So,
dead skin cells, but
now
skin
when you talk
cells.
about pictures, that's called an adjunct to a personal concern because it doesn't have any DNA. So a personal concern should have a DNA. Okay, an adjunct such as a picture, doesn't have DNA. And those have become weaker spells, right? So anyway, you can deliver the evil eye. I got to tell you a story about that too. It's really funny.
Okay.
Inserting cursing ingredients into food, as long as they're, not harmful, right? Foot track magic. You can take when somebody stepped in dirt and you got the image of their foot, you can take that dirt. And then there's something called laying tricks, right? So you lay down a bewitched substance or an object that you've incorporated the spell into, so that if a person crosses near it or steps on it, right, they're cursed. And there's a way of avoiding that, like wearing a silver dying anklet. Verbal or written pronouncements of malintention. Now, that's an interesting one, okay, because there's a lot of times where a person can curse themselves, right? And this happens a lot with spiritual
Sure.
scammers, right? And I write about that also. And if somebody said, if I were superstitious, Mr. Nori, if I were very, very superstitious, and someone told me that they cursed, I'm cursing you. There's a pronouncement right there,
Sure.
right? I'm cursing you. So now my aura is suppressed and I start worrying, then all these bad things happen, and then I'm drawing in more negative energy. The person didn't do anything. There's just that threat of a curse, right? So now I'm doing all these things to myself. And this unfortunately happens with a lot of victims who go to metaphysical scammers, and they lead people to believe that if they don't pay them a certain amount of money, or if they don't pay them ongoing amounts of money, that they're going to be cursed. So out of fear, they keep giving that money. So anyway, working with entities is another one. You know, some people will work with harmful entities to harm somebody. Symbols, that's another one they can use. And, you know, most importantly, it's putting energy out into the universe. So if I said constantly, I hope isn't a good word, something bad will happen to John Doe. John Doe will fall and break his leg. John Doe will fall and break his leg. John Doe, and I'm saying this constantly, I'm putting out that energy into the universe, sure. Right? Something might happen to John Doe. If it keeps happening.
Well, I would hate to get on your bad side.
I'm sorry, what?
I'd hate to get on your bad side.
Oh, no, no. Again, curses have to be justified. You know, if somebody comes up to me and says, you're ugly, you're stupid, you know, whatever, okay, I'm not going to curse them.
Let it go. Let it go. That's right. Now, so curses are generally, I don't want to say bad, but they are, gosh, bad things could happen to people. Spells, on the other hand, could be good things, right?
Right, right. A spell is just an expressed desire, you know, to cause an event, right? So it can either be negative or positive or neutral.
I mean, if you want a better job, a better relationship, you can do spells like that by going to somebody like you, right?
Right, right. But, you know, I'm also a very, very firm believer in prayer. You know, I mean, it's just amazing the things that God will do for you.
Absolutely. You have to tap into it. What's the difference, though, between what you do and what a witch would do? There sounds like there's some similarities here.
I am a witch. I mean,
oh, you are? You
know,
okay.
Witches are, you know, people are under the misconception that witches are solely Wiccan, and that's not true. I mean, anybody that successfully practices magic is a witch.
Huh. And,
you know, Brujeria, people are under the misconception that, oh, boy, that comes from Mexico. You know, no, Brujeria means witchcraft. That's all it means.
And was this a family thing passed down?
Yes.
Interesting. And in hoodoo cleansing and protection magic, does somebody have to go to someone like you, or can they learn this on their own?
You know, I'm a very firm believer that people are able and capable of cleansing themselves. All right, so, and that's what this book is about. The book is about knowledge. Knowledge is power, right? So if one had a physical illness, okay, now in these days, one can look up what the illness is on the internet. You can talk to different physicians, mm-hmm. get different types of opinions, and you've got some sort of control, right? And that was my intention when I wrote this book, is to tell people what's happening, why it happened, why it's affecting them, whatever it may be, whether it's a curse, whether it's a possessed object, whether it's a haunting, you know, no matter what it is, this is why it happened, this is what it's doing to you, this is how you can take care of it. Right. So I discourage people from coming to me to actually perform something because, you know, they're perfectly capable of doing it themselves, saving themselves, you know, $1 zillion. It's really not that hard. And if you have knowledge, Mr. Nori, you've got control. Knowledge is control and power.
Can't,
I want to empower people.
Can someone be cursed and not know it?
Yes.
Aha. Yes.
Okay, but what's going to happen is you're going to have warning signs, right?
Such as?
You have lots of warning signs. You know, the first thing you're going to have is a feeling of doom. You've heard the expression, a dark cloud. Oh, the person's got, I feel like I have a dark cloud on me.
Right.
Well, what happens is, if you have a radiant aura, right, and I talked about this earlier, right? So it's deflecting the negativity that's in the atmosphere. We've got half good, half bad, right? If the aura is suppressed, we're feeling the negativity. That's the dark cloud that you're feeling.
I had an ex-producer, Miss Aida, who would come into work. Now, this is during my local days. He'd come into work and say, I'm going to have a lousy day. And you know what? He had a lousy day.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's a negative affirmation. He put it into the universe.
Yep.
Not good. So, you know, there's all kinds of signs, feeling of impending doom or, you know, that dark cloud, run of bad luck. Suddenly people start avoiding you, or not you, but the person that's
hurt. Maybe me, you never know, right?
treating people with apathy, or being people treating the affected person with anger, or as being insignificant. There's sudden breakdowns of many appliances. You can't have one appliance break down and say, oh, I've been cursed, right? It has to be a lot. There's something I forgot to write in my book, and I feel really bad about it, but
what was that?
Unexplained and sudden breakout of severe acne or blackheads. And by the way, you know, to counteract that, you rub a lima bean on each and every one of the, you know, an individual lima bean for each one thrown in the garbage. Feelings of being watched, difficulty sleeping. Nightmares, feeling obstacles. Everything a person attempts to do, there's an obstacle. And I get a lot of these clients where there's unexplained illnesses and physicians can't diagnose it. They don't know what the problem is. Protective jewelry breaking, that's what we call jewelry taking the hit, right? Financial difficulties. You know, in severe cases, if it's severe, you know, there might be hauntings. Well, another thing that may happen, too, and this is really interesting, are insects. So if you're starting to see insects that are not native to your environment, you know, that's a clue. Or if they are native to the environment, there's a swarm of them. And an interesting one also is having insects in the house that are just dying for no apparent reason. And unfortunately, sometimes your pets will take the hit for you.
Wow. On purpose or accidentally or what?
Accidentally, yeah, they'll take the hit. You know, what do pets instinctively do? They protect. I have three.
They protect
shepherds.
Us.
They
instinctively
protect me.
Yep. Just wrong place, wrong time, I guess, for them.
Yeah, exactly.
So these spells and curses, which I'm fascinated by them because in a lot of cases, they work. How important is the practitioner? Let's say somebody comes to you and says, I want a spell on, you know, on my career or something like that. What if
we're talking about positive spell now?
Positive stuff. Do you have to be positive? Does the person have to be positive? What kicks it into high gear?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely, one has to be positive, and the same applies to curses. You know, when I perform a curse, I have to do a reading to, first of all, to make sure that the curse is justified. And then when the client tells me everything that was done to them, you know, all the malicious things that were done.
What if they're making it up? What if they're lying?
I will know through a reading.
You will. Okay.
Yes, and that's why, you know, a lot of people get mad at me because they email me and they say, I want to curse so-and-so or I want to break up so-and-so. It's like, not unless it's justified, right? And in 96% of the cases, I won't take the case because it's not justified.
You sense something, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
That's
absolutely
amazing. Voodoo Cleansing and Protection Magic. Aida, where do people get this incredible book?
Where do they get it? Well, All online sellers, as well as fine bookstores everywhere. And if people live outside of the USA, bookdepository.com have free shipping virtually around the world.
Excellent. What has been for you the most satisfying aspect of what you do?
Helping people. I'm a nurse. I love helping people.
No,
it applies to my spiritual practice.
And you can tell when they're happy, can't you?
Absolutely.
You've got your websites. You've also got a Facebook up, I guess, right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay.
So my website is missaida.com, and my Facebook page is Miss Aida Psychic.
And we've got those links for you at coasttocoastam.com. And we're going to come back and take some phone calls in our final hour with you about curses, about spells. I've got a few more questions. What inspired you to even write this book in the first place? And maybe you could tell us a story or two that you can relate to us on some curses and spells and what happened besides the guy who had a heart attack. My gosh, we'll be back.